The running mullet is live, Grace. It's live, Grace. The running mullet is live, Grace. Yeah, we're just making this song up as we go, Grace. Yeah, Grace. Oh my gosh.
I like it. I really like the song. I like how often my name is in that song.
Yeah.
Somebody should, if anybody is listening and can make that, can put like some instruments behind that.
It's a good thing no one's listening. We can come up with some tunes for you that's all about you, because yep. Everybody knows that 99% of the show is about me.
That way is correct. Be,
but you can put a little in there.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Grace, you know something I was just thinking about? You want to know?
What's that?
So you know that feeling like late in an ultra when like your fueling plan starts going to hell and your stomach feels like crap and your mind is horrible and you start pooping all over the place and puking all over the place. You know that feeling that people get in ultras?
When you get a situation is happening. Yeah.
That's the feeling I have every Monday night at 7:30 when I click on here and I see your face.
Oh, that's intense. That's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, how can I describe the best way I feel when I see beautiful Grace? Uh-huh. And then it all just came to me. I was like, that's genius. That's what it is.
Stomach turns upside down, poop everywhere.
Yeah. Like it's on the seat. Yeah. It's not great. But I have to do the show. So it's one of those things like dialing in your nutrition. I have it dialed in. I know this feeling comes every Monday at 7:29. And then, so I guess thanks for that. I don't really know what else to say about it.
You know, at least we're predictable. So yeah. We got that going.
Mm-hmm. And it's good training, I guess, for ultra running, because I get that feeling now when I'm just sitting here looking at you, your face.
And you got to push through. It's good mental training.
Exactly. So, again, thank you for that. Like, you are a good coach. I don't know how you do it, but you bring out the worst in me.
Uh-huh. You're welcome.
Oh, anyway, Grace, I'm just kidding. It's always great to see you at 7:30 on Monday nights for the Running Mullet. We've been doing it for 132 weeks now. That's a lot of weeks if you know how to math.
That's a lot of weeks.
Yeah, it's quite insane. I'm never going to stop saying how insane it is. There's still like half of people that listen to us. So like, that's pretty impressive. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's some animals out there with computers. I'm not really sure who watches us. We don't know anymore. Nobody tells us, but.
Oh, no. I just got a message last week.
I sent that to you because to make you feel better.
Got it. Okay. That was actually you.
Yeah. I made a different screen name so you'd be surprised. You're welcome.
It was not Cindy. That was actually you. Okay.
Whatever. Whoever Cindy is. Thank you for watching. We like all the Cindys. We like all the Jennifers. The Graces, that's kind of up in the air still. Feeling. But everybody else, we love you for joining in. You want to start the show?
Yeah, let's start the show.
Okay. Grace, listen up. Grace, some running-related things are amazing and serve purpose. And some things are a big boo. Let's discuss which is which on episode 132. I'm Eric Idiot Runner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party. Hello. So.
How was your weekend?
I love every weekend. Every weekend I love equally and with my full heart and with everything of my being.
Oh, wow.
It's the rest of the things, the Monday through the Friday, Monday being the worst, yeah. that I struggle to cope with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That makes nothing crazy. Nothing crazy this weekend for me. Still putting in the miles on the old legs, and yeah, that's about it. Nothing.
Fun.
What about you? I saw you, didn't you deflag something or something?
Yeah, I went to Trails for Tales and I joined the relay team. That was fun because I got to sleep in because they just needed one more member. And I was like, well, I'll be another member if I get to go last. So I got to sleep in. I joined the relay team. It's a 40-mile race, Trails for Tales, benefits SPCA. And it was fun. I ended up running with this guy for a little bit. And sometimes you can just tell the newbies, and he had some cramping going on. So I walked with him for a little bit, and it was his first ultra, but he finished. So that was great. It was fun to walk him into the finish line, and then deflagged the course after that. And we had a good time. It was a lot of fun.
Good. We always need those deflaggers. They're a crucial part of these races. Somebody's got to take down the evidence.
Yep. Hi, Travis.
Hi, Travis. Hi, Kaylee.
Hi, Kaylee.
Hi, 12 other people that are currently listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the weather's been beautiful. We don't get rain up here anymore. I think it's done forever. Every day is beautiful. It's getting a little warm now.
Yeah, it's been a little toasty.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm not complaining. It is what it is. Cross country's still going hot. I got two meets this week, one tomorrow, one Friday.
Yay.
There we are.
Good.
So let's get into the meat and potatoes of this show.
Yeah,
this is in there. You sent me this idea and I was like, oh, this could be good because I foresee like one thing coming up and it's going to make us debate for the rest of the show because we probably are in disagreement. So that's good. No, but the idea is things related to running, whether it be races, products, whatever it may be. And I want people to chime in if they're listening, please, because I want items and things brought up that are either overhyped or underrated.
Yeah.
I can see this being a 2 or 3 or 4 part show. You know, I could see us doing this again too. This is a fun idea. So what I'm doing here, Grace, I don't know if you noticed, but I'm giving you credit.
You're giving me credit. We're going to write that one down.
Calm down. See, this is what I was afraid of. You get all excited and then I'm never going to give you credit again. So if you can't handle this like a big girl, we're shutting it down. So good job. I'm proud of you. This is fun. This is good.
Okay. Thanks.
And so, yeah. So if you know of, I mean, I hate to say a race because that's just being harsh if people think it's overrated, but I mean, we can talk about it. Maybe talk about our feelings. But
so we're doing overrated first, things that are overrated.
You're the boss. You came up with this idea. So we'll go with that.
I did come up with this idea and we might go more than three, but I just kind of said top three things that are overrated in running.
Overhyped. There's a difference.
There is a difference. Thank you.
I like
for
the two
clarifying.
Words. We're gonna stick
overhyped.
With that.
All right. So and underrated.
Because you're running the show, this was your idea. I'll give you the option. Would you like to go first or would you like to go second?
I would like to go second, but we can only do one at a time. So you're going to do one, just one.
And then we discuss it, or we're just saying this is it?
I don't know. I get to tell you if I think it's dumb or not.
All right. I'm going to start out nice and easy and gentle. This isn't going to ruffle any feathers, okay?
Okay. All right. I'm ready.
Running with music.
Running with music is overhyped.
Yes.
Okay.
I feel the reason I say that, and I am a music runner myself every once in a while. I enjoy it, but when I don't run with it, and I'm mostly speaking of like long runs where you need something to break up the monotony in your boring head. But when I don't run with it, most times, I learn something about like how my brain works and processes its thoughts a little better when you're out there for hours. And I'd never miss it as much as I think I'm gonna. You know, when I purposely leave it at home, it's like, you know what? I'm going to go the whole time without any podcast. I don't listen to podcasts on runs anyway, or books or anything. So it's normally just, it's just music on my watch that I've heard like hundreds of times, but it's still.
Well, maybe that's the problem.
I think you're the problem.
I mean, I know your taste in music and
whatever. So your face is. All right. I was just starting. That was just the first one that came to my head.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of, I think it's very personal. You know, my sport growing up was dance. And so music for me is very personal. And when I'm out on the trail listening to music, I'm not using it as a crutch because I hate running so much that I need music. It's more like I love running so much and I want a soundtrack to it and I'm going to dance on the rocks.
I don't dance when I run.
Yeah, for me, it's
well, so you're saying running with music would be underrated then? Like, you think more people should do?
Not necessarily. I think there are certain people who are like totally against it, and I think that's a little, I don't know, close-minded.
Yeah, that's not me. That's definitely.
And I think there's also people who, I know when I first started out with running, I was like, man, I got to have some music to get through this. And then I realized like there's a lot of great stuff about running without music. You get to talk to other people if you're in a race. I don't really like listening to music when I'm in a race, at least not when there's a lot of people around me. If I'm by myself, that's fine. But you got to be able to hear people getting around you and stuff like that. So I'm not a big fan of it during a race nearly as much, unless it's like a 100-miler or something like that, you know.
I would agree, pretty much all races.
Yeah, like Heiner. Ooh, leave the headphones at home for Heiner. That's the
Okay. Let's move on.
Okay. Overhyped. Bears.
I guess it depends what your reason they're overhyped is. Bears, yeah, I would say they're definitely overhyped. They're just an animal out there trying to survive, and people get a little worked up over them. I think it's cool seeing them because they're not as many of them as deer and squirrels. But like, as far as the danger aspect of it, it's like, no, it's not even worth talking about.
No. On the East Coast here, and I think like when I was thinking about my answers to overhyped and underrated, a lot of it comes from questions that I get through coaching or things that I see from the things that I wish that I knew when I was a beginner, you know, and because I've been guilty of some of this stuff. I've probably never been guilty of being scared of bears, though. Like bears on the East Coast, they want your peanut butter and jelly. They definitely want your peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but they don't want to rip your face off. Even if they have their babies with them, they usually want to teach their cubs how to run away. So they're probably not going to. They're not going to rip your face off. They're fine. It happens on occasion. There's some violence with black bears, but it's very, 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 very rare. And so I think people over prepare and like work themselves up about bears. And there's so many other things that are going to hurt you out there. And it's either going to be being dehydrated. It's the same people who will, like, this is what I think is scary, is when somebody's really afraid of bears, but they don't bring enough water with them. So like dehydration and heat exhaustion and hypothermia and ticks, are those four things are probably far more dangerous than bears.
Bears beats Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
What show?
So I'm going with, I don't know.
Just forget it then. Let's move on.
I want to know, Eric.
No, I'll tell you later. All right. So bears, that's your first overhyped. Yeah. People get way too worked up over the thought, oh my gosh, there are bears in the area? Like, oh my gosh, I'm not running on that.
I forget truck. Where I was. I was somewhere recently and somebody had bear spray.
Yeah, you got bear bells. Don't get me started on them that go to, on your shoelaces. You have bear spray you could purchase. Now, if you're running in grizzly country and brown bear country,
Makes sense.
They recommend carrying a spray. I mean, you're
that's right.
Not, but
right. They're different polar bears, very scary. Black bears, not so much.
Nope.
Probably fine. Yeah. It was like somebody was wearing, they had bear spray and it was like down here in York County or something. It was at a place that it was like, there's nothing is coming. There are not, there's rarely black bears down here. They happen, but it doesn't happen that often.
Okay. It's my turn.
Number two, what do you got?
I'm going to ruffle some feathers here. I know it of the people watching and that are going to listen in, but my second overhyped running related thing is bacon.
Oh, yeah.
I like bacon. I'm a bacon fan. Would it be my favorite breakfast meat? Probably not. I like, yeah, I like them all, but I just don't understand why it's such a popular thing. I get the saltiness of it too, but there's other salty things out there. I've never gone gaga the way people do over this bacon at aid stations. And I feel, in my opinion, it's overhyped.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to have to agree with you on this one. I think it's overhyped. Yeah. I think it's a nice little comfort thing to have, but your body, all of the research. So I stay updated on this stuff and somebody's going to find something that contradicts me at some point, but I would urge them to look at ultra, like research that is for ultra athletes specifically. And you don't really need protein and fat while you're running. You need carbs. So you don't, like you can, that's fine. I love a good turkey sandwich while I'm running. The calories are helpful, but as far as macronutrients, you can do really well off of just carbs. And depending on your body and what your body works best off of, I know that I've transitioned to doing heavier on carbs and trying to cut as much fat as I can out of race day nutrition, like while I'm running. And I find that I feel faster and lighter. So I don't know what the purpose is of the bacon other than salty and it tastes good and it gives you calories, but I can also get calories out of Morton gels and they go down faster.
I feel like it started long ago, long before I started running this whole bacon fad. And then it kind of found its home there's no real reason to justify like the real true why other than like people love it. I guess I'm just not a fan of it while I'm running.
I still eat it while I'm running because it's delicious and I enjoy it, but I don't like, I guess I don't tell myself, oh, this is what I need while I need to have so much bacon. Like I've seen people prep large amounts of bacon for big races as like, this is a strategy that they're using. And I think it's like, it makes your heart happy. That's cool. And it gives you extra calories.
I mean, every idiot race we do up here twice a year, Becky spends the night before cooking the bacon so we don't have to do it the day of, and it's a pile of it and it all gets eaten, most of it. So it's a necessity for
it is
ultra runners, but
it's still delicious. But I will agree with you that it's overhyped.
Perfect. At least we agree on something.
I'm gonna go along with that one, and I'm gonna also say that watermelon is overhyped in races.
I'm definitely not gonna agree with you on that one because it's just it's hydration and I love the flavor of it.
There's a flavor of it, but it's very low calorie, so it's not really giving you it. It's like 4 calories, and then it fills up your belly. I think there's some people who are still learning how to fuel themselves, and they find out that watermelon makes them happy, and they substitute watermelon instead of things like gels, and it's just not enough calories.
Yeah, you're probably right, but the reason I like it is because for one, if you are dehydrated, which most of us are when we're ultra running, whether you're good at fueling or not, it does rehydrate you a little bit. And it's just a couple squares of it hit the spot when it's hot out.
That's what I'm saying. Like it's yummy,
but
I think it's just overhyped that you gotta have watermelon. Like it's fine. You don't need
it. Who's Mrs. Caveman 420?
I don't know.
Ooh, activation stretches give me overhyped vibes, but interested in y'all's thoughts. So she's meaning like pre-run stretching, activating the muscles that are firing, I assume.
Right. And like, so in running, it would be your leg swings and your.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it depends for me. So activation stretches, for those of you listening in, activation stretches overhyped or no. I'm going to say it depends on the distance. So if I were trying to PR my 5K, then yes, I do want to get stuff moving. And if I have been using activation stretches in my training, then yes, that's a good strategy to get things moving. And I would also do at least a 1 mile warm up, maybe 2 or 3 mile warm up before that 5K. And I would say for the big, big races, like 100 miler and things like that, probably not going to do as much. But if some people do warm ups, activation stretches, some people do not. Regardless of which way you go, I think you have to do it in your training and not just like once a week. Activation stretches. I have a couple athletes who do them, you know, 4 or 5 days a week, and it works for them.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess I kind of agree with you to a certain point. It's been proven that I think in a lot of studies that the pre-run stretch isn't nearly as effective as post-running. And that's for obvious reasons based on your muscles aren't warm yet. So you're stretching out a tight rubber band that's really not doing much. I mean, obviously you got to do a warm-up run, especially for shorter distances to get that, to get those muscles warmed up. But the static standing still stuff, if you have time for it, it's not going to hurt anything. Just don't go crazy with stretching because you could hurt something before you even do anything.
Yeah. More than anything else, I have seen it beneficial for injury prevention. I don't know that it really makes you faster. There's not good research to support that as a performance benefit. So.
Yep. All right. That was your turn.
It's my turn. Okay.
Okay, go.
I'm excited.
I thought you just went. I don't know.
No. I got my number two.
All right.
So number two is I hear this all the time when somebody is just starting out. And I only put this not as a critique because when I was first getting into it, I had the same question. But for anybody who is new into distance running, especially getting past the marathon distance, one of the biggest questions that's always on somebody's mind, and it is overhyped, is what is your longest long run in order to complete X distance? So what's the longest long run that you have to run in order to complete a 50 miler or 100K or 100 miler, whatever that distance is? So we all know that in marathon training, typically your longest long run is between 20 to 22 miles, maybe 18 miles, depending on where you're at. And when it comes to ultra, it's just a whole different ball game. And the longest long run is so vastly different depending on what your fitness background is and what your goal is. And time on feet is a big consideration. And a lot of times you run the risk of needing too much recovery time and losing fitness during that recovery time. And I see people trying to shove really long distances into a training plan that's actually hurting them. So I'm going to put longest long run is overhyped. It's over discussed. It's not as big of a deal.
Longest long run. Yes. I guess I get what you're saying. Long run is not overhyped.
Correct. Not the long run, but what's the longest, like there's no one number for everybody. Like you have to do
a
40 miler before a 50 miler, like absolutely not. And also it's just so different depending on the person.
And you might want to focus on time on your feet rather than miles when it comes to long run, but you have to get your body and mind to feel what it's like to replicate what the race distance is going to be like when you're at that point.
Long run, super important. It just, it's very, very different depending on the person. Like if you're training, and I think, cause I think people will take the marathon mentality and say, oh, well, if I have to run 20 miles as my long run before a 26, then I should run, and that's about 4 weeks out, then I should run 100K 4 weeks out from my 100 miler. And it's like, no, please don't do that. That's you're going to spend 2 weeks recovering from your 100K and then 2 weeks tapering for your 100 mile. And now you lost like a lot of fitness. I'd rather see some back-to-back 22 milers or something like that than see 100K that wipes you out, you know?
All depends on who you are.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, is it's vastly different depending on who the person is. And then there's another person who it's like, yeah, absolutely, do 100K 4 weeks before. But there's not one answer. And I will see people in group chats say, I just out of curiosity, I want to know what's everybody's longest long run before their 100 mile. And it's like, don't even crowdsource that answer.
Yeah.
It's so different. It's so different.
All right, moving on. Don Nisley said, overrated. Normal laces are overrated.
Yeah.
Quick pull laces are underrated. So he's talking about like Salomon style shoes, mm-hmm. that have the pull and snitch type thing, whatever that,
yeah.
You know.
Pull and snitch. Is that what you do to your friends?
Pull and snitch. I came out. That's what it is. Here we are. I don't know what to tell you. You pull and snitch. But they are very nice. I'm familiar with Salomon's. I know a couple other shoes have them. As long as they don't slip when you pull, as long as when you pull and snitch that there's no slippage during your run, yeah, mm-hmm. they're pretty freaking convenient. But then again, tying your shoelace and double tying it so it doesn't come untied and having it the right tension, if you can't do that, you're pretty lazy. So, I mean, draw the line. But, yeah, they are nice.
Yeah, they are. I'm curious about the Mount to Coast, that double lace thing that they have going on.
I mean, it's nice, and I actually applaud them for the idea because I think it's a valid thought and idea to be able to tighten different parts of your shoe at different tightnesses, because some people have wide feet, some people have skinny feet, some people have fat feet, some people have thin feet. But yeah, I don't know how much. I have a pair and I've never touched the bottom part, you know, tightened or loosened the bottom part. Maybe it's just because the way it came was good for me. So it doesn't, I don't really care enough. But for those that really have that movement in their foot in a shoe or something, you can dial it in a lot more than a regular shoe.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
All right, my turn. I'm coming. I have all good, fun ones, and you're coming up with all this training stuff. Whatever.
I'm trying to be helpful.
This one's gonna. I'm gonna preface this with, don't even come at me, because this is factual. This one is gonna hurt feelings. I don't care. Whatever. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Write this down.
Okay.
Overhyped Gooder sunglasses.
Oh, definitely.
Get out of here. Get out of here. They are junk. They're cute colors. That's fine. Wear them for the day. But they don't last. And they are junk. And there's other sunglasses that are identical to Gooders on the market that last longer. All right, I'm done. I'm going to get too worked up here.
Yeah, I love my Gooders. They're super fun. I have several pair, but I don't race with them. I don't run with them.
No, I don't either. I have a couple.
Because they're not, I can't see well with them. They're
stylish. Here's my problem. I gotta get this off my chest, Grace. So way back when they became popular and everybody loved them and all the colors were out, I was like, well, I'm everybody. I need a pair. So I got a pair. And the polarization wore off. Like, I didn't drop them, never scratched them, but it wore off, started wearing off, making them foggy within like 3 months. So I was like, hey, Gooder, this is what happened to my sunglasses. What can you do for me? And they sent me a new pair, which I love companies like that. Like, you stand behind your product. Then it happened again to that next pair. So it wasn't just for me, it wasn't just a bad pair.
Right.
And then I went to Knockarounds, and I'm not saying they're so much better, but they're the same price, very similar, all fun, kinds of fun colors, and they lasted forever with the same use. Now, and then I was just like, Gooder's got, I mean, obviously they make cheap sunglasses and people love them. They did something right. The name's cool. I think super they're overhyped. Cool.
Yep. Yep. I agree. They're overhyped. My two favorite pair of sunglasses. I have a pair of sunglasses. I do have a pair of yellow frames, which I'd say yellow frames are underrated. I love running in my yellow frames or yellow lenses, I should say. So both of those and my favorite sunglasses to run in that I think like I can see really well out of them and they don't fog up and all that. Both of them I got from like used clothing stores. I don't even know what brand they are. I just picked them up off of a shelf when I was vintage clothes shopping and that's what I use. So go figure.
Yep.
I like
all it. Right. We can get off the Gooder train now. I need to get that one off my chest.
Yeah.
Let's cover this one from the chat real quick. I don't want to dive too deep into it, but it's a great one to hit on. Underrated are recovery runs. Now, recovery run, I'm going to define it as a very easy conversational pace in zone one. Uh-huh. If you're not at both of them, you're not doing a recovery run. And I will finish by saying, yes, recovery runs are very, very important. They're also slower than you think they are, but they will benefit your running in more ways than you will ever think they will. But you have to be conversational paced and very, very low heart rate.
Yep. I think most people don't do recovery runs correctly, which is why I mostly prescribe a recovery walk instead. Like a 20-minute recovery walk, but I'm very fascinated by, I want to hear, actually, Demir, you should just come on the show and tell us all about why you think this, plus many things, because Demir is also in healthcare. So I'm actually fascinated by that one, and I want to hear more about it. But I do think that a lot of people take recovery runs way too hard, and they're just putting themselves at risk for injury.
Yep. Okay, moving on. You have one more overhyped, don't you?
Overhyped, Eric Kosek.
Oh my gosh, you would not believe what my last one was. I thought I didn't know we had a limit of three, but guess what my last one was? I'll give you one guess.
It wasn't Eric Kosek.
Dang it. See, that's how tight we are. I think we get each other. Yeah. By far, the most overhyped one is Grace. Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely Eric Kosek.
Dang it. All right. That's fun. Overhyped. Now we're doing, we mixed in a couple underrateds, right?
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah, we did.
You want the, I'll give you the choice.
Oh, wait. Demir said underrated is recovery run. I was thinking he said overhyped. He said
underrated. No, he was agreeing that recovery runs are important. Yeah.
Dude. I just said totally are.
It was fresh in the chat. I want to make sure we get
it. I like it. That was a good one to start with because I do think they're underrated. I think people take way too much time off of complete rest and not moving. You got to keep moving. And I want to hear more about that, Demir. So now you need to come on the show. What?
Yep. Amanda Cooley said underwear is overrated, like running specific underwear. I would tend to agree with that. Yeah, there's no magic fix out there for things rubbing against each other for a long time. Just lube up the spots that get hot on you and you won't have any problems. But I've chafed with very, very, very expensive gear that's supposed to not chafe and then not chafed with stuff that's dirt cheap. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's all specific.
You know, I've had more luck with hiker specific underwear. Because most of the times I don't wear any like every other runner, but in the winter it is nice to have an extra layer. And so that extra layer, I switch over to hiker specific underwear. And that is also helpful if you are doing a multi-day event, cause you can just, there's a better fabric that is used with hiker specific cause it's built to be like washed out in a creek and hung up to dry, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get moving on this underrated stuff because it's almost my bedtime. So, do I go first?
Sure. Go. Sleep. I'd say sleep is underrated.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that. If more people start taking their sleep seriously, they would see their fitness and their running jump in leaps and bounds, in my opinion, and how they feel when they're doing it. 1,000,000%. And that's, I'll be the first to admit, this has taken me a long time to realize, but I'm very strict with my sleep now, trying to get what I can. And that means I'm an early riser. So that means silliness, going to bed like stupid early, but I take it seriously and I feel better for it. Yes.
Yep. And I think when you're in peak training as well, you see people get into peak training and then instead of like clearing their calendar of other responsibilities, they just try to shove in the extra training. And really it's like, no, this is the priority right now. Get yourself some sleep. And you can't always make those things work, but sometimes you can, you know, have a conversation with the family and say like, look, I really need to get 8 hours during these 2-3 weeks when I'm in peak training and I need your help with that and maybe some help with the dishes or whatever that is. But I think sleep is underrated. And I talk to people all the time. I just don't know why my legs are so heavy and I'm so tired. Well, how much did you sleep last night? 4.5 hours. Well, okay, let's talk about that.
Yeah. The easiest way that I would say it is the time you have left over after jobs, family, work, whatever other adulting responsibilities you have, if you have a gap of time and that gap you can fill with running or sleep, you make sure you get more sleep than miles. If you know what I'm saying, if it means sacrificing your nightly hours of sleep to get a couple more miles, take the sleep. In my opinion.
Yep.
So pretty much what we said.
What you got?
Oh, okay. My first one is a good one and I like it. It would be a massage gun. They are underrated. Mm-hmm. And mostly I would say they're underrated because they are dirt cheap on Amazon. Like you don't have to buy the, what's it called? Theragun or whatever. The original one that came out. We have an Amazon special one that's lasted us for years. It's rechargeable and it's a massage. You can self-massage yourself. You can massage out knots and things like that. You can have somebody else do it to you. For the price, $50 or something, it was worth every penny.
100%. I have a massage gun. I use it all the time. I use it especially on my calves.
Yeah. The calves are a tender muscle. It's fun. It always amazes me. Like you can hammer your quads, your face. I've never done my face. I'm just kidding. But like if you do your calves, they're at least mine. My calves are tender, Grace. They're little.
You have tiny little spindly legs too. So
whatever. They move all right. So come at me.
Gotta put them on the lowest setting for those bad boys. Might break something with those bird legs.
All right. What else you got?
Gut training is underrated. We talk about this all the time, but training your gut, I think people don't work on it early enough and they only work on it maybe a couple times a month instead of working on gut training more frequently, because when it comes to race day, then they'll just say, well, I'm going to go as far as I can and not eat too much. And then I'll eat later on when I'm hungry. And I think you got to train your gut and also figure out what you run best on, because what you run best on might not be hamburgers and Fireball.
I think this comes back to the long run discussion from earlier, and that's what's most important. Not talking about marathons, I'm talking about ultra distances, but if you can try out new products for an hour or two and you might love the taste and everything, but everything changes when you're 3 or 4 hours in or 5 or 6. And it doesn't mean you have to run the race pace for that long, but you have to know how your body's going to respond after using that product or products for a while, because 60 miles into 100 miler stuff's totally different than a 20 mile run.
Yeah. Yep. It is. Your gut changes. And this is why time on feet is important. You got to figure out what your belly does after 10 hours.
Yep.
What's your next?
I got a couple more. I'm trying to pick my best one here.
I have two more. You can have two more if I have two more.
As long as we make it quick. All right. I'm going to go with carbon plated trail shoes are underrated.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. I don't have any experience with them. You do. So.
I like them a lot. Now I'm not a runner and I know everybody's different, but I'm not a runner that needs to feel that ground. I don't need to feel every rock root and stuff on the ground. So that doesn't bother me. And I don't use carbon plate trail shoes to feel faster. Hmm. Carbon plate road shoes. I am faster. They make you faster. They keep you faster for longer. They're amazing. I love them, but I don't go the carbon plate. I don't feel like it hinders anything for me. And it's a nice protective plate there when you're trail running. And it's still, you still have plenty of cushion. It's not like your foot's on a plate. So I like the carbon plate trail shoes.
Interesting. Now the carbon plated road shoe, there's so much science behind it. It absolutely makes faster. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
I've never tried the trail shoe.
Yeah, I mean, when they first came out with the trail shoe, carbon plated trail shoes, I was like, yeah, we all know, like, pace is hard to run on a trail. So, like, think putting this thing in to make you faster, like it does on road, it doesn't equate over to trails. It's just kind of hype.
I think we're also, you know, if you live in Pennsylvania and you're used to Rocksylvania trails, that would be a harder sell. If you're on pretty smooth trails, you might think, maybe that'll work.
Yeah, like one of those 100 milers on rail trails that they call a trail race. I would say they're going to be good for that. But yeah, our kind of trails, I don't see the benefit other than I think they're comfortable. But yeah, go.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, group runs. I'm going to go with group runs being underrated. And so there's so much you get out of a group run. One, if there's somebody, or group runs or even running with another person, I think it's good to run with people who are faster than you, who push you. And I also think it's good to run with people who are slower than you to force you to move find a different gear. I think it's important to know all of your gears and that's the time to practice it and to run comfortably next to somebody, not like 5 feet in front of them. And you can also learn so much from group runs. I've learned a lot from group runs, being around other people who know more than me and just picking their brain and asking them questions. And it's fun to get ideas about races and about training and different food and different gear. And I think you can just learn a lot and have a lot of fun with group runs.
Yep. And going back to what we said earlier, for some people, it's a good way to force yourself into a recovery run.
Yes. Yes, they are great for recovery runs.
Because a lot of times there is stopping, and it's for a lot of people, and I'm saying this, I say a lot of people, but I'm mainly talking about myself. I don't like stopping when I'm running. I don't. But if it's a recovery run in the afternoon, or if I just ran in the morning and it's a group run in the afternoon, like it forces you to do that slow running and take breaks and treat it easy. So yeah, it's kind of a win-win.
Yeah, and you might find a friend who you know is at a different pace than you. And Laura does this with me. She'll be in her taper week, and she'll reach out to me and say, hey, you want to go for a run? I'm like, is it taper week? Yep, okay, let's go. Because she needs a little bit of an easier pace. And that's a great way to spend time with somebody who might not be the same pace as you.
Yep.
Okay.
Whose turn?
It's yours. Go. Ready, set, go.
Okay. I got... My last one. Okay. Yeah,
My last one
I just thought of right before the show is new age nutrition and mainly new age gels. I think gels have the word gel makes people cringe. So I think they need a new name, just like nutritional packets. Let's just go with that. I know it's long, but it's better than gel because they've come so far. And I think the benefit of these nutritional packets now, there's so many different choices and flavors and textures, is the benefit to me is if you are racing and you know you're got your nutrition dialed in, you know exactly what the numbers are you're putting into your body and when you're doing it. That's not rocket science. It's obvious that it's on the package. Yes, you can look at to see what a peanut butter and jelly sandwich is cap for calories and stuff like that, but it's still ballpark. That's just one example. I just think they've come a long way just in the 10 years since I've been running, honestly. And I've gotten to the point where I'm fueling with pretty much just Sys gels because they work for me. Yeah. There's other ones out there that are just as good. You're a Martin fan, and I like Martin mm-hmm. too. I don't mind that at all. What I don't like is it's just this one single flavor still, right?
Yeah, as far as I know.
And some people like that. It's just my palate, I guess, after many hours wants different stuff. So
yeah,
I just think I think before people discount gel, I hated Goose.
I'm not a
gel person. I need real food. I mean, there are gels out there that are real food now, so try them.
Mm-hmm. Or newer.
Give them another chance.
Mm-hmm. I've got to agree with you on this one. I think that, I've always used gels, and I've done a mixture over the years of more or less gels. And I've been going more and more toward gels in the past, especially the past year and a half. And I find that I just perform better. I don't get to have as many fun treats, but, I might not have a piece of cheesecake at High Knob. But I'm performing better on gels. And I think people do discount them. I think they'll I only want to fuel naturally. And when you start looking at the calorie breakdown, it's like, okay, you only want to fuel naturally, what you call natural, whatever that is. But you're only taking in, 75 calories an hour or something like that. I'm taking in 260. When I was running Baker, there was a guy, there's a point at which you have to climb this rope to continue on the trail. So we're climbing the rope, and this guy makes a comment about people like Carl Meltzer can run 100 milers on gels. But he was kind of like, well, those of us in the real world can't. And I was kind of thinking to myself, well, I'm running this race off of almost purely gels. I had a couple of Uncrustables, but it was mostly gels. And like the conversation went in such a direction that it turns out he had DNF'd the race several times and because he would bonk. And I'm thinking like, well, maybe this is the reason why, is because you're not fueling yourself properly and that's why you're bonking. And he said that he's usually dehydrated. And I'm like, well, when you do take in gels, you have to also take in enough water. And I don't know. I think people discount it way too early. And they don't play around with nutrition. And when you use a gel, you have to drink water. They're made to be ingested.
Most of them, yes.
They're made to be ingested with water at the same time. So,
yep. The Sys Isogel is their selling point. Is there, you don't have to technically drink fluid with it. I kind of take a sip every time, regardless. It's just
you just take a sip. Muir gels are really great. They only have two or three ingredients, and you have a little bit of water with them. Morton gels are easier on your teeth because they work to make sure they're good for your teethers, not too sweet.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing I'm trying to say is before, years ago. Even late in an ultra race, you try choking down a gel, it's this bam of pure sugary syrup that coats your throat and everything like that. And it makes you want to puke. It's 60 miles in 100 miler, just as much as trying to choke down real food. So it wasn't a help, but like the bottom line is like, there's so many now that just one swallow and it's gone. Don't go anywhere with that. But you can use that, even if you use them for the later parts of an ultra only, they're better for your consistency than ever before. And again, when you don't want to eat another thing and you haven't because you're an idiot for the past 2 hours, start taking this gel that's really not that awfully bad. I love them, but
maple syrup and the little single serve packets. Even if you swish it around your mouth for a little bit, you're going to get more than if you try to eat salted potatoes. And people say, well, like, oh, I do. I have the packets. I have my salted potatoes and I have my pierogies. But if you're not eating your pierogies, but you can choke down some maple syrup in a little maple syrup packet, which they put ginger in it for that reason. you know? So I'm with you. I say don't discount them.
Yeah.
Don't discount. Maybe they don't work for you and that's okay. And maybe you do great on all real food. Some people do because they figured it out. But don't discount the gels.
Yep. All right. That's it for me. I have one more, and then you can have whatever you have left.
I have one more.
All right.
I have one more.
Underrated.
Yeah.
Ben Mazur.
Sure. How is he underrated? Everybody knows Ben Mazur's great.
They know him, but they don't truly know his greatness. He is a walking god, and people need to understand that Ben does a lot. He's quiet, so he doesn't boast. He's a fun human. He makes fun of people and is mean sometimes, but that's okay because it's Ben Mazur.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to make sure that he was put on the list. Ben, I love you. Don't be mean to me.
What did you do to him that you're trying to be nice to him now?
I'm just protecting myself in the future.
Okay. Everybody knows Ben Mazur's great. No, Ben Mazur is very great. He's wonderful.
No, I'm just playing around. But yeah, that was my list. That was fun. Do you have any more you want to throw out?
Underrated this podcast. We're awesome.
Aaron, that's a good one. We are. Mostly me, obviously. I think I'm the most underrated. You're a little overhyped. Little
sprinkle.
Little and overhyped, but we don't need to worry about that. I make up for it in the awesomeness department.
Thanks for that. What are you doing this weekend?
Oh, I'm running. I'm less than three weeks out from my 24 hours. So more long runs this weekend. Not sure what I'm going to do, but yeah. And
everybody has a fall race. I don't really have a big fall race. Everybody has a fall race. I have, I think, 6 athletes with their big race this weekend.
Oh boy. Good luck, 6 athletes.
Everybody.
All right. Wrap it up, Grace.
It's a busy week.
Sleep is important.
I want to make sure that you dream of me. This face right here.
Yeah, I've woken up to that face like night sweats, soaking wet, crying, and tears.
It's good heat training. Okay. Right. Tune in every week.
I liked it.
7:30 Eastern time, tune in live. We're so glad that you tuned in today and that you tune in and that you listen. If it's the morning and you're listening to us in the morning, I hope you have an awesome day.
I got a couple posts for the free hat from last week, but people must not want a free Idiot Runner hat.
Let's give it another week.
That's why I'm mentioning it again. If you're listening, all you got to do is post on your Facebook feed or your Instagram feed and tag me in it that you listen to the show and you would like a hat. That's it.
Yeah.
But whatever, you don't want the hat, then whatever.
Or some socks.
You're now on my overhyped list. So whatever.
I want a hat. That's a pretty nice hat. So
I'll give you a hat. Yeah. Black Forest Ultra is coming up faster than most athletes want to believe. That's a big one. We might talk about that very shortly.
That sounds good. I got one person running Black Forest.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Cool. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. You're amazing. Like the things and share the things and subscribe to the things. And then we will see you on the things next Monday.
Yes, we'll see you on the things. Have a good week. That's all I got. Say bye.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.